The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back in our final four segments with cutting-edge UFO commentator Micah Hanks. And, of course, he has the Graylian Report, a lot of cutting-edge commentaries. He's got his podcast. He's got all these amazing things that he does. And we'll continue with our discussions, also listener questions. Right now, Gox Mackay, our friendly guest co-host and forum moderator, you had a comment.
Yes, Micah, I am just working my way through one of Joseph Farrell's book just now, SS Brotherhood of the Bell, and I was just quickly wanting to ask you, what do you think about this idea that there could be a whole kind of branch of physics that has been deliberately hidden from science and the public, and that some UFO technology could be based on this science, this physics that's hidden?
Yeah, ether physics, I think was the term he coined.
That is in the book, yeah. And or hyperdimensional. I know that sounds a bit Hoagland, but let's just talk Farrell.
Sure. Joseph Farrell is a brilliant guy. I've interviewed him before, and I've read a number of his books. I agree with a lot of what he says. I disagree with some things, and I don't think that you can have an honest discussion with people without some disagreement, and so that's meant as no slight against him. I think that in terms of probability, I'm trying to be logical about this. With no proof that we have aliens out there, you know, that we have found evidence of life that exists elsewhere in the world, with no proof of that, we do know that there's life that exists on Earth, and therefore the probability to me would seem higher that anomalous technologies that appear on Earth from time to time are of earthly origin. And the reason, again, is because the probability seems greater to me as a result of the fact that we can prove and we know, obviously, that life on Earth exists. Well, most of us believe that, at least. So, now, in relation to the idea that there is some sort of a branch of physics that has been kept from the public, you know, a lot of people think that that's absurd because it would involve, I guess, adherence to a conspiracy, you know, or a cover-up. But, folks, let me tell you, conspiracies occur. And a conspiracy theory is merely theorizing that a conspiracy may be underway. That term has been so weaponized, heavily weaponized, by the mainstream media following the Kennedy assassination, which is a whole different discussion we can have. And I don't think that you have to go out to the lunatic fringe to say that maybe there were aspects of that incident and other incidents that have occurred in American history and other, you know, history, you know, places in history around the world, you know, that warrant further inquiry and question. And so I think that the idea of a cover-up that involves technology not only seems more probable than alien visitation, but also likely. And the issue I have with mainstream, the big-ass debunker skeptics, is that they don't want to believe in a cover-up. They don't want to entertain the idea of conspiracies, whether or not we know that there's historical precedent for their existence. They don't want to acknowledge the idea that there may be technologies that are produced behind the scenes that could answer some of these UFO questions. You know, for instance, I'll illustrate it like this, Goggs. I was talking with Robert Schaefer, protege of sorts of Philip J. Klass, and he and I were talking. We agree on a lot, Bob and I, and I think he's a good researcher. By the same token, I was talking with him, and I said, I do not believe that the majority of these aircraft that people claim that they've seen are alien in origin. And I said, if anything, they would have to probably represent some sort of a technology that has been kept under wraps, perhaps by government, perhaps kept behind the scenes. There are other avenues that could be explored. You know, Farrell has cited Richard Dolan's idea of a breakaway civilization, and I think that that's something that should be considered as well. And Schaefer looked at me and he says, you believe that? I said, well, yes, because I said, again, we don't have proof that aliens are visiting Earth, and therefore I don't want to leap to that conclusion. I said, I mean, do you disagree with the idea? And he says, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think it's government. I don't think that they're secret groups. And he said if there were government groups that were utilizing this advanced technology, those documents with time would have been released to the public. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, what a statement to make. And I said, but more important than rather than what I perceived as a slightly gullible statement that Schaefer had made, more important, perhaps, was the fact that he seemed to infer that he thought that there was something else behind the UFO phenomenon. And so I said, wait, Bob, you mean to tell me that you think that there's something else other than secret government technologies and things going on? He says, oh, absolutely. And I said, well, I'm about to hear Bob Schaefer admit that he thinks that there's something else going on with UFOs. And I said, well, what is it, Bob? And he goes, people are just lying. And so I joked with him. I said, Bob, you and I should start a blog together then and call it The Lying Saucer. And he laughed. We both laughed. You know, it was an amicable conversation. And he said, well, we couldn't do that, brother. We'd both be sued. But in truth, I do respectfully disagree. I don't think people are just lying. And I don't think that we should be so quick to presume that if there were secret technologies gogs going on out there, that government would necessarily release that information to the public willingly over time.
They're just lying, right? Lying saucers. I like that.
We have to get him on the show. That's all.
That'll be a fun one.
You should definitely get him on the show. I hope he would agree to it.
I've got a bunch of interesting questions here, Mike, for you. And here's one from Fedora Chronicles, who's one of our recent sign-ups at forum.theparacast.com, where you can go and sign up for our free newsletter. And we'll also send you, for signing up, we'll send you a copy of a PDF of my book, Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. Here, he's got a number of questions. One is, if there was one person you could blame for the waning of ufology, who is it, in your opinion? I'm sure we could start throwing out names. I don't think there's one person that you can blame for the waning of ufology. There's a number of them, though, that have contributed. But here's one. He wants to know, Mike, your essential reading list and what's on your bookshelf, other books that you would urge people to become aware of. We do have a lot of people who are interested in this field who haven't dove in and done the research, but they want to. Where would you steer them?
Well, in relation to the first question, Stephen Greer, and in relation to the second question, I think that there are a lot of really good books that seek not to look at this politicized, stereotypical movement. I hate that expression, the UFO movement. Let's go be a part of a movement.
Yes, Reverend Hanks. Well, you almost sounded in the way you were just expressing that. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a movement here. It's a movement. I don't want to say what kind of movement.
Yeah, I am in the South, Gene.
That's why I'm saying that I used to live in the South.
We
got a movement, lady. I'll be back at 5.
Well, you guys know what I'm talking about, though. I mean, people who, it's not so much a matter of we want to determine logically what could be going on here. We want to feel like we are a part of something where we belong. And unfortunately, again, and maybe that is a true criticism I have of the UFO culture and the UFO events and things. They're great. You can learn a lot. You'll meet great people. Heck, I attend and lecture at UFO events myself, as you guys do. But by the same token, I think a lot of people who are attendees really aren't going to learn so much as to be in a location where they feel that they can be a part of something bigger than they are by themselves. They can really let loose, let it all hang out, and be who they want to be. And that's fine, but recognize the difference between that and real serious research. Now, books and reading lists. I really love the work of Dr. Jacques Vallée, who I do. I mean, I've disagreed with Jacques Vallée on a few points at times, but I feel that he is one of the most, if not the most intelligent commentator who has ever come and tried to present information about UFOs in a logical, methodical, and scientific way. I also say go back and look at the work of J. Allen Hynek. You know, read the Blue Book papers. They're all available, most of them, I think, online, and also, of course, in the condensed versions of publications that have been released over the years. A great book I actually have right here, which, again, I think is largely speculative, but points us maybe in the right direction in terms of the science behind some of these aircraft. It's a book by Paul Potter that our good friend David Hetcher Childress released, Gravitational Manipulation of Domed Craft, UFO Propulsion Dynamics. You can literally buy this book at Barnes & Noble, and it's available online, too, through Adventures Unlimited Press. But that's a really thick, interesting book, way too technical, I think, for a lot of people. But, I think that it really is something that, at very least, in terms of hypothesis, puts forward some interesting points about the mechanics behind some of these aircraft. And, of course, I do like Joseph Farrell's research. I would recommend Carl Sagan's The Demon Haunted World. I know a lot of people may cringe when I say that, but it's important to get the perspective of the skeptics just as well. Don't be one-sided in your approach, because as soon as you are, you too will become just as biased. I read as much from the skeptical writers on these subjects as I do from the believers. And I'll tell you what, really, to me, it's not about belief at all. It's, again, about the fundamental principle that science is about disproving the hypothesis, not going out there and trying to make believers out of people.
We have Micah Hanks joining us with Scoggs and Mackay, our guest co-host with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Spare Fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare Fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I would say this, that Gogs should do a good reading, but you have to rehearse more to join Chris's rock group. What's the name of your rock band again, Chris?
Well, it's a progressive Native American rock band, so Black Raven.
Black Raven.
Which is really good. We may be getting Laughing Buddha back together to do a reissue of our album and record a couple, three new songs. So that's something in the works as well.
Micah Hanks is with us. Gogs McKay, our guest co-host with Gene and Chris, pursuing all sorts of cutting-edge UFO questions. Micah, what do you have to say for people like Stanton Friedman or Don Berliner and other people who have just been doing it for 6 or 7 decades, where they seem to be a little rigid in their approach to the subject, and when you hit them with something new, they're very quick to dismiss it?
Stanton Friedman, you know, I've met Stanton on numerous occasions. I've interviewed him. He's a wonderful fellow, you know, and he should be recognized for the work he has done. Stanton is an educated individual just as well, and I think that in terms of what he has done for the popularization of what, again, I think he in fairness calls scientific study of UFOs, he should be commended. Now, I have also sat on a panel with with Stanton, which interestingly, I was billed as the skeptic, and it was me, Stanton Friedman, and Richard Dolan. Maybe as evidence of Stanton's views on what I have to say is when I was actually responding to one of the questions, he fell asleep, bless his heart. and Lee Spiegel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I sincerely hope that our listeners are not falling asleep right now. Go ahead, Gox. By the way, I like Stan, too. I've known him for 100,000 years, and he knows I don't agree with everything he says. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's the important thing, Gene. You know, the four of us may not always agree. You know, Gogs, next time we have this talk, and I hope we can do it again in the future, you know, he may say, Mike, I flatly disagree with what you say on that. And I do disagree with a lot of things that Stanton says. I still see the merit of his research, but I think that, unfortunately, what we also see is that over time, a lot of researchers become beholden to a belief in what they have, you know, found. To an extent, too, not necessarily with Stanton, but I mean, to an extent, I know that there are also researchers who, once they've written a book about something, they flatly deny an alternative hypothesis, and they tend to jump up and down on the premise that has, you know, helped, you know, elevate their, you know, their research, and of course, you know, maybe put a few dollars in their pocket. Which again, that's not a criticism. People have a right to be able to make money. We think about scientists that sit around, you know, studying H1N1, or, you know, scientists who are out there, you know, trying to create petri meat in a laboratory to help, you know, deal with scarcity and hunger problems that we have, especially in other parts of the world. Those scientists are paid for that work that they do. There's nothing wrong with being paid for the work that you do. You can still give back to people and make money as well. And I think that there are UFO researchers who have done that just as well. They have done good work. They have made an impression and a lasting impression, but we have to be careful not to allow that impression that has been made be the final word, because obviously if we had the final word on UFOs, there would be no need for a discussion like the one we're having right now.
You know, I think it's important, too, that people who are involved in this field, if you see evidence that something you believe in or a theory you've expressed is wrong, say so. You can disagree with yourself.
You can disagree with yourself. I disagree with myself. You know, I've gone back and forth on it. There have been people who I've admired, and then there are people, you know, who the same people I've admired who a few years after the fact, I look at more of what they've had to say. I my own opinions may change, and I find myself in stark opposition with things that those researchers have said. You know, if there's one criticism I would even give myself, and it's important, I think, as good researchers to try and be critical of ourselves, I would say that, you know, for instance, my book, The UFO Singularity, I like a lot of what I wrote in that book, but even just, what is it, a year and a half, 2 years after the publication of that book, I have not come away from the kind of what I call informed speculation that I put forward in that book, which is essentially making a case for, we've studied this phenomenon, now what do we do with it, and how can we look ahead to the future and at technology that is kind of, you know, kind of appearing right now in our midst. What will this tell us about UFOs? I look back at that book and I say that I think that that's a meaningful statement. But, you know, my next book, The Ghost Rockets, took a very different approach. It was much more nuts and bolts. Here are the facts. This is what we're looking at. And here's government documents that prove it. You know, again, I can look at my own work and say, you know, there are times, I think, where we need more good, hard data and analysis, which was, you know, again, this is the whole dichotomy between J. Allen Hynek, Jacques Vallée, you know, the idea of there being something that was more extra-dimensional as opposed to extraterrestrial versus the hardcore nuts-and-bolts UFO approach. I think we have to find a balance between the two, and it's really not something that we understand fully enough at this point that we can so simply say it's aliens or it's, you know, extra-dimensionals. It's something, you know, like what John Keel would have said, or or it's simply some sort of a conspiracy and it's all from here on planet Earth. We just don't know. And we have to be open to possibilities, but discerning in the way we approach those possibilities.
Well, one thing we do know, and that is not everyone who reports a UFO or claims that they've seen one is lying.
Right. People have said often when they listen to my podcasts, you know, I do try to take a middle ground approach, and they say, you know, Micah, sometimes you're so in the middle that you don't seem to have any opinions of your own. I argue that's not the case. The reason I'm trying to be middle of the road is because, you know, especially in this paradigm, when it comes to this discussion of UFOs, there is this war between the two extremely polarized factions of believers and skeptics. The skeptics, very interestingly, seem to be able to explain 100% of the time, skeptically, all claims of paranormal phenomena. That's very strange to me because, again, with science, we aren't trying to go about, you know, saying that there are no unexplained phenomena. With science, what we're trying to say is if there is at least what appears to be an unexplained phenomena, that there is data which warrants the study of, then we should proceed cautiously and carefully, but we should at least explore the possibility that we are observing some sort of a phenomena that is little understood. The believers, of course, pit themselves against this, and they tend to believe wild things from time to time just because they want to disagree with the skeptics. You know, it's a paradigm. It's this whole pathological kind of a mindset that I think on the extremes people gravitate toward. In the middle, you can stand and you can look both ways, and really, in some instances, you have to be able to look toward the skeptical or the believer side and say, the data before us points to more of this. And so I will say, not being in the middle on this point, I adamantly disagree with Robert Schaefer that people are just lying. I've heard P.Z. Myers say the same thing last year, that there are probably people with psychological disorders who are observing UFOs. If that's the case, and if all UFO phenomenon is representative of people who are misperceiving, possibly due to mental disorders, the entire nature of what we call modern study of psychology has to be rewritten, because we obviously have no understanding of the fundamental mechanisms of the human mind. That, to me, is not an excuse for why UFOs don't exist.
Don't you think that one thing that I want from people in ufology, and it's not a big ask, and it's just a willingness to change their mind when presented with compelling evidence to the contrary of their current belief? Yeah, as much as I admire Stanton Friedman, I'm just not sure if he's ever done a 180 on anything. I could be wrong, but he just seems very, very set in his ways and his beliefs in ufology. And, you know, don't get me started on people like Greer and Bassett. Chris will tell you, you obviously saw it as well, Micah, but the recent kind of congressional hearings, some of the people that were involved in that were great. They were fantastic. You know, they were good for illustrating some good cases in ufology, and they had a lot of interesting things to say. And then you've got
God's Mackay with Gene and Chris and Micah Hanks. You're in
the Paracast.
GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guys giant factory authorized sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high quality Mountain House freeze dry foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now is the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best tasting, longest proven shelf life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The giant factory authorized Mountain House sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We'll have more of your questions on this segment. Gogs McKay was beginning a commentary about different stages of UFO belief and such. Just parenthetically, I think, at the last MUFON convention, Steve Bassett was honored, which I think is really just pushing things way too far. Micah Hanks is joining us this week with Gene and Chris. Gox, do you have more to say?
Yeah, I was going to say that Stephen Bassett, he was so resolute in, I think he was kind of pushed on his choice of people to have in this, in these hearings, the citizens' hearings. And I don't get the guy. I can't understand him at all because, you know, he so wants this truth embargo, as he calls it, to come to an end. He's obviously very passionate about ufology. But why he can't seem to understand that to people who are not into ufology, that, you know, if you have the woo-woo crowd, they, you know, like what Paul Hellyer said, I can't quote verbatim what he said, but let's just say information without any possible way to back it up. That would be the kind way to say it. And Stephen Bassett doesn't see anything wrong with having this kind of person, you know, on the same panel, the same forum, same stage as people with perfectly good information and credible tales with evidence, you know, personal experience. And then you've got the other ones who are just giving third, fourth hand rubbish information, and he's giving them kind of equal billing. And he does strike me as a very intelligent man, but why he can't see that that is not helping ufology, I just do not know.
I'd like to comment on that, Goggs, if I can, and I'll try and be brief about this since I know time's running nigh. But Stephen, I've met Stephen on a number of occasions. He has always been a true gentleman. You know, he asked for a copy of my book one time, and I gave it to him, and I was, you know, I felt honored, really. But he's one of the very people who, in the past, in an article in Fate magazine, had essentially called for the end of ufology and said that we're beyond the need to study UFOs. We already know that there's a phenomenon. We need to move into this realm of activism and disclosure, essentially, is what he said. So it's interesting that this would be one of the very people who has talked about the so-called end of ufology. Okay. That said, with regard to the citizens' hearing on UFO disclosure, there's some good that came out of that. But I also know that the former congressmen and women, you know, the individuals who were the people who were actually sitting in the hearing, not people who were holding standing positions in office, because I don't think any standing elected officials would probably have taken that, you know, and done it. They were paid, you know, a good amount of money. And being paid to be there and to sit and listen to that stuff, I'm sure that they, and not necessarily to be derisive toward it when I say that stuff, but, you know, I'm sure that they were more than willing to sit there, having been paid a large sum of money to do so, and listen to what people had to say. The big problem, I think, the biggest problem with what was presented at that citizens' hearing, a lot of people had said that there were people like Richard French who showed up and made some very strange statements. People were saying, where did this guy come from? You know, Open Minds has talked about him in the past. And in fact, John Keel mentions a Richard French who he thought was one of these pseudonyms that somebody, essentially what Keel called an MIB. He didn't think that this was a real person, but he named a gentleman named Richard French who claimed to be with the Air Force, who in the second chapter of the book Mothman Prophecies pops up. So I think obviously Richard French, some of what he has said is true, and yet he made these strange claims about seeing these little alien guys working on a UFO off like the coast of Newfoundland or something like that. And somehow he's able to see down into the water and seeing them work. There were a lot of strange things that people were talking about. And the testimony, this is the big problem. The testimony and the points and opinions being issued by the people who were the panelists at that event, they didn't seem to all agree on all the aspects. You can't tell me that what Linda Moulton Howe said was in agreement with what Kevin Randall would have said, you know, or what Richard Dolan would have to say on the subject would be, you know, in agreement with Bassett's own views, you know. There hasn't been any kind of a systematic, cohesive presentation on, okay, this is what I think on the whole as the UFO community. We all know there's some of the stuff that we all think, but we can't prove. This is what we know, and this is the best evidence. That, unfortunately, is not what was presented at the citizens' hearing. It was kind of this buffet line of all these different things that somehow over the years have managed to fall under this kind of umbrella of what we call ufology. And this was given to people who are not current, you know, standing politicians who are paid money to sit there and listen to it.
And it was a scattergun approach. Let's just throw as much different stuff at them and see what sticks.
And I don't think, in my opinion, with respect to the people who were there, some of them dear friends of mine, Richard Dolan, Steve Bassett, I like him a lot. And I commend him for the work he does, but we need a slightly less scattered approach, like you say, Goggs, if we're going to convince anybody about what we're doing. And frankly, it's a shame that we have to pay people who are no longer actually representatives to listen to such, you know, scattered, I won't call it nonsense because it's not all nonsense, but it's certainly not the best presentation of the information that we could have given. I think some of the people who are there, though, are some of the best presenters on this. It's just, I think we need a more systematized, logical procedure in how we present that. We're never going to move forward truly if we don't do that.
Well, I've got to jump in here. To have Paul Hellyer sum up the entire proceedings with the final comments and then read out of Jim Sparks' book a verbatim conversation that Sparks claims he had with the ETs, and how, let's get real, Jim Sparks, I don't really think has the kind of credibility that would, to me, warrant being quoted to sum up a very, I think, groundbreaking in many ways event like the citizen hearings. Unfortunately, you know, you have this whole idea that anything that anybody says out there can be used to support some sort of conclusion that you've come to in your own mind. And unfortunately, to have him quote Jim Sparks' ET conversation to sum up the entire proceedings, to me, it just trashed the whole thing in my mind. And if I hadn't been working there, I would have jumped up and said something in indignation, believe me.
Well, it certainly wasn't the best representation of material that could appear at an event otherwise as well planned and coordinated as the citizens hearing was. And I know that there are people out there who won't agree with me and things I've said. I always try to be a gentleman, because I don't believe that most situations when it comes to intellectual debate really warrant just being snarky and rude and derisive toward people. I have tremendous respect for people who I do not agree with in this field, but I do think also that if we hope to move beyond this so-called field of ufology, the so-called movement of ufology, we do have to represent ourselves a little better and at least try and be all on the same page if we're going to do it. That may never happen, but maybe that is the reason for, as some have called, the end of ufology. I'm on the fence about it myself. I'm not saying we should stop researching UFOs, but I think maybe that we need to be careful about what we call UFO research.
Yeah, and I agree. And that kind of leads us to this next topic, and that is whether we're seeing a division of ufology into two separate sort of camps, categories. You have your true believers kind of creating religious belief around this subject, and then you have the invisible college types who are taking their research and their investigative work underground out of sight of the public mind and out of the public consciousness and attempting to do quality research privately and on the QT. I really see that. I think serious ufology is going to become less visible, and you're going to have this pop culture sort of religious fervor that's going to, you know, I think really coalesce around itself. And we see that with people such as James Gilliland up at Trout Lake, Stephen Greer, Michael Horn blowing his particular horn about the Billy Meyer case. It's the people that are willing to suspend their disbelief that are almost viewing this subject, I think, in almost a religious way. And then you have your serious investigators and researchers who are actually going underground with their work. I have been for quite some time, actually been quietly making strides in a hard data monitoring scenario. And what do you guys think? I mean, should we just separate it out and have, you know, the true believers kind of have their own little thing?
No.
And what do you
Chris,
think?
Well, Chris, what about, there's kind of like two ways it could be underground, as you put it, and as I said in the article. And you've got the Bigelow way. You know, I want to have the last say on this information. It won't be made public. And then you've got maybe what you did yourself, just, you know, working away on your own. You're not trying to keep data from anyone, but you're not going out there shouting from the rooftops.
Gogs Mackay joining us with our special guest Micah Hanks and Gene and Chris. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to HerbalHealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
at 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day. Take them camping or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
This is our final segment on the Paracast with Micah Hanks, Scoggs McKay, and Gene and Chris. Micah had a comment. Chris, you had a response about doing your own quiet research away from prying eyes.
Well, I think Ray Stanford really has influenced me in this way, that you don't give progress reports as you're doing work. You get to a point where you think you have something that's worthy, and then you publish it, or you in some sort of forum, then you present this work. Unfortunately, there's too much shouting from the rooftops, I think, as Goggs, I think, very succinctly put it, in the field. And when you're trying to somehow get the involvement of academia and the scientific community, You've got to do it correctly in a way that they feel comfortable, becoming involved in. And unfortunately, we're seeing this type of privatization of data with Bigelow and probably others. Joe Firmage comes to mind, where these individuals are, for their own particular reasons and using their own rationale, are trying to vacuum cleaner up data in almost a selfish kind of way. I think, and I do commend Bigelow for allowing NIDS to publish some very, very important papers, before that particular organization went defunct. But I do think this whole idea of an invisible college, as Jacques Vallée coined the term, I think that this is where we're going to see the most potential for moving the field forward, out of the prying eyes of the media and out of the prying eyes of the true believer crowd. And I really do see serious ufology splitting off from the more of the religious aspects of this.
Yeah, well said, Chris, and thank you for that, by the way. This has been such an enlightening discussion for me, hearing the different perspectives about all this. And, I think that, again, maybe it's important to define, when we say underground, what we mean. Underground meaning below the mainstream approach or belief-oriented UFO quote-unquote movement, because when you've got something taking place in a laboratory or a garage, or even during a discussion on a podcast like this, it's not ancient aliens, it's not Hangar One, it's not one of these programs, and there may be good information that are provided on those programs from time to time too. I don't think that's always the case. I think it's, six to one, half a dozen another. But the thing is that I think that the idea of the invisible college, the idea of an underground component to this, is what is going beneath the mainstream kind of watered down UFO, that unfortunately the harshest critics of UFO phenomenon are going after as though that were the best representation of the research. It's simply not. And I'll say this also with regard to Robert Bigelow. I, too, find it interesting and I do appreciate that there's someone out there who takes seriously enough UFO phenomenon that he wants to put money behind it, as he did with MUFON. By the same token, he also seems to want to keep secret from the public a lot of what he finds. Why is that? A lot of people think that there's a conspiracy, some sort of a government component to that. Maybe it's that what we already know about him. He's a businessman and he hopes to maybe engineer and or even innovate new technologies based on what he's observed with regard to UFOs. As a businessman, I would say, although I don't condone it per se, I can't fault him for trying to go about doing certain things secretly if he is indeed trying to, from a business standpoint, become an innovator. I don't think anybody wants to let loose company secrets per se, and so maybe that's his situation too. But real good underground ufology is going to take understanding the areas of science that apply to what we call UFO research, trying to pull together a systematic and very well thought out, comprehensive presentation on what we call ufology and how best to proceed forward with it. And then I think that there has to be an openness. It can't be a matter of silence on this discussion. It can't be a matter of, I'm going to keep my secrets and I'll pay certain organizations to do this or that for me, but they keep their own secrets too, in fairness, MUFON does. You have to have, I think, a certain rank as an investigator to be able to have access to all their case files. Was APRO like that or NICAP? I think in the past it seems to me that a lot more has been written. A lot of those case files have been made available, or at least books and things have been written about them. And, I think that that's what we need, is the openness of that information so that it is available to people, much like science is, although, really you have to pay for access to scientific journals just as well. So it's a hard thing to be able to get past the profit potential and get to a real true freedom. And I think what it requires fundamentally in order to do it is money. Maybe we should start a nonprofit for UFO research. That might be the only way we can do it,
Maybe what we should be doing here is setting up a Kickstarter campaign, okay, for UFO research, fund the research, set up an organization to back it, and see what happens. Now, just parenthetically, we know that APRO and NICAP had different approaches mm-hmm. to UFO research and conclusions and didn't necessarily get along, which is part of it. Of course, originally MUFON started off as a splinter of APRO. It descended from APRO, as many people know. And today, I think my problem with MUFON is it's too much trying to become mainstream commercial. And that's why you have people like a Stephen Bassett headlining a session, being awarded and honored, which I think is downright absurd because it's telling us that there's no need for further research. Let's just be evangelists for the subject. And that's preposterous. What do you think? We have about 2 minutes left or 3 minutes, so we're rushing you here.
Okay, we'll make it quick then. Well, I think that there's definitely a preposterous element to it. And again, the entire point with my article, and that's not at Grayling Report. That one is at MicahHanks.com, but, a lot of content's at the other site too, just as well. And in that article, the primary point is, it's not a matter of attacking people, or disagreeing with people. It's just a recognition of the fact that most who do attack the field of study we call ufology, whether or not you like that term, most of those people, I think, are attacking the wrong things. They're attacking television shows, conferences, and also the kind of industrial component to all this, or, the industry that surrounds ufology. And that is not necessarily the research. If they were looking at the research, they might have a different opinion on ufology on the whole.
Okay, very quickly, Micah Hanks, is there a way to just throw everything out and start again, or can we accomplish today getting this set up so that we have a place where researchers can go without having to pick up the baggage of the past?
A difficult question. I never think we should throw everything out. I think sometimes we need to, as the old, Asian proverb says, we should unlearn and maybe empty our cup so that we can make room for warm tea. But I think that we need to look carefully at what we have had before us rather than throw it all out and try and be more discerning with what we, lend to the future of the study.
Well, we only have to see if we get anywhere or whether this field will continue for the next 60 years with very little accomplished, very little to say, except for people getting together, evangelizing the subject, and if they're not evangelizing the subject, debating, yelling at each other, and not really getting to a final answer. Of course, it's also, as they say, convenient for people to believe the government knows the answers. This way they don't have to do anything. We don't have to learn what UFOs are. The government knows. Let's get them to disclose what they know, and we'll all be comforted by the fact, regardless of what they know, we can take it. That's kind of the approach I think Donald Kehoe took, especially in the early years when he was getting started with NICAP, because to him, NICAP's goal was to get the congressional hearings and the public admission of UFO reality. We saw how that turned out. Micah Hanks, please tell our listeners where we can find more of the stuff that you do.
Absolutely. Well, GraylianReport.com, that's G-R-A-L-I-E-N report, and then my name, MicahHanks.com. Those are my two websites. There's a podcast that I put out each week, as well as a radio show on the KGRA radio network on Monday nights. And yes, Gene, my final word, thank you for what you said, because in that last statement, because if we hope that somebody else has the answers and that we don't have to do the research ourselves, that is fundamentally intellectual laziness.
By the way, if you want to get a free copy of one of Chris's best books, Secrets of the Mysterious Valley, huge e-book, okay, electronic book, here's how to do it. Go to theparacast.com, that's theparacast.com, and there's a big form there to sign up for the weekly Paracast newsletter. So since we get your email address, we'll send out that book to you, okay? And by the way, those of you who are already subscribers and resent this, write me a message, and I'll take care of it for you, okay? And Chris can be found also at OurStrangePlanet.com. OurStrangePlanet.com, our friendly guest co-host, Gogs McKay, he can be found lurking at forum.theparacast.com. You can also find us on Twitter, where we are known as The Paracast. We are The Paracast on Twitter. And if you go to Facebook, you'll find two Paracast fan clubs. And they've got structure there, so we can't really merge them without killing all the contents for one. Isn't that weird? Gogs, thanks for being aboard. And Micah Hanks, thank you for joining us on The Paracast.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
How many good people procrastinate? When was the last time you updated your last will and testament, your living will, and your health care power of attorney? If you could get these documents included with your Legal Shield membership for no additional charge, wouldn't it just make sense to have the peace of mind of owning a Legal Shield membership? Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.